salvation, because he is moving in the now. So it was so cool. When Brian was talking, a scripture came to mind. I just wanted to share with you guys. In Mark chapter 1, and this ties right into my message. So right after Jesus spent 40 days and 40 nights with no food, and I would be super hangry and not my best self at that moment, but somehow Jesus, I mean, I do get hangry. Like, when I do road trips, I pack snacks for days. I just eat every 30 minutes, and I'm a happier person, better focused driver. It's great. So he spent 40 days without all that and was so tuned in with the Holy Spirit, but he went through a lot of temptations, right? And how many people after lockdown... Man, the flesh. It was hard keeping your personality surrendered to the Holy Spirit. So it was so cool, because right after that, a tragedy happened. And John, who was his cousin and was preparing what the Lord wanted to do in ministry, he was actually murdered. And he was arrested. And it was just a really rough time. But Jesus passed everything that was going on in the circumstances, right? There's a lot going on in the circumstances that are not good reports. Right? And he tuned into the Holy Spirit. He took that opportunity to tune out what Satan was trying to do and tune into what God was going to do in the midst of it. And he said in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, it says, "The time promised by God has come at last." He announced, "The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe God, the good news." So, you know, the Lord is doing something so big and so beautiful, and the kingdom of God is in the here and now, right? So Jesus came and he fulfilled the law and actually opened up a whole new season, a season of his grace and a season of the kingdom of God. You know what's really interesting is, you know what Jesus preached? Like, if you look at all of his messages, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, do you know the number one thing Jesus preached? The kingdom of God. And he demonstrated the kingdom of God and healed the sick and set people free and grabbed people that were downtrodden by society and lifted them up, seated with him in heavenly places. And he preached the kingdom, he demonstrated the kingdom, and he commissioned us to bring the kingdom. So remember the Lord's Prayer? "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus preached the kingdom of God consistently. He demonstrated the kingdom of God. So what are we to preach? The kingdom of God. What are we to demonstrate? The kingdom of God. And how many of you are like, what does that mean? We're going to talk about it today in a really simplistic, we're just going to kind of launch, because this is part 5 of my series. I'm going to do part 6 next week, so keep coming. And all right, so this is my series, Authority in Action, Part 5. We'll call it the Kingdom Living. Sounds good. We'll roll with it. Okay. So, you know, we kind of wonder, do you ever notice how much division is going on just in the church alone right now? Like, we're not even talking in the world. Like, in churches, churches are splitting right down the middle in conflict. And you know where that's coming from, right? It's because we got to get back to preaching the kingdom of God. Think about it. We got to get back to demonstrating the kingdom of God. Because I think the church has really forgotten who they are and what we're supposed to preach and demonstrate. And that's why there's such a division. Because our eyes kind of got off. You know, sometimes we have problems in churches where we start majoring on the minors. It's biblical, it's scripture, but we so overemphasize one part of the gospel that we forget the full picture. Has anybody seen that sometimes in churches? It just get a little bit like, take a little bit of a left field. But I want to tell you this, if you can get a hold of the kingdom of God, and once you guys, my last time I preached, I challenged you to study the book of Ephesians. I want you to dig into the gospels now. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And every time Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, I want you to cue into what he's doing. And I want you to stretch yourself in faith and to do what he does. Because when we stop remembering who Jesus is, we stop remember what he is preaching, and we kind of just forget who we are, right? When you know who he is, you know who you are. Follow me? When you know who he is, you know who you are. When you see what he preaches, you know what you're supposed to preach. When you see what he demonstrates, you know what you're called to demonstrate. So the kingdom of God. So the number one thing we got to remember right now is we are sons and daughters of the King. We are sons and daughters of the King and get a kingdom mindset. And I'll tell you, the church is going to get real healthy again and unified when we start doing that. And it will change the way you think. You know, it's so funny. We try to change the way people are thinking right now. We're posting certain things. We're preaching certain things. We're pushing certain things. And if you can't see and hear Jesus in the midst of it, you're going to push a divide, right? But you know, when you preach the kingdom, you'll preach the King's policies. And suddenly things get really, really clear. When our identity is in a person besides Jesus Christ, we're going to get a little off track. Am I right? When our identity gets in politics that is not Jesus Christ, we'll get a little bit off track. But you know what's so fascinating? When you get your identity in Jesus Christ and you start searching the Word, you will see God's way of government and doing things. You follow me? I challenge you to do your research. I talk to my young adults all the time. I said, you know what? I want you to print off all the party platforms. If you go pray and you go read and go look it up in Scripture what God says about those things. And you'll never find a perfect one. You follow me? But find out what God's kingdom wants to do. And you find out how He wants to flow through your life and how He wants to move in our nation and vote accordingly. But we got to change our mindset on that kind of stuff, right? I have to say this a little bit before we can go on to things. So we have to remember we are sons and daughters of the King and get a kingdom mindset. We are called to reign in the kingdom of God on earth, right? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's Luke chapter 11, verse 2. So, okay, we talk about this a lot. What is the kingdom of God? And when you dig into Scripture, I mean, it sometimes his parables are a little confusing. Sometimes a little bit. You got to really dig into it and get your heart into it. Because Revelations 5:10 says this, you have made them a kingdom of priests unto our God, and they will reign on the earth. So what does that mean? Once again, what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is God's government rule on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is God's government rule, how he does things in heaven brought to earth. And you're like, that sounds like really, really deep, and I don't understand that. It's really fascinating. Look what Jesus does. Look how Jesus talks. Look how he interacts with people. That's the kingdom of God. So God's rule on earth, ready for this, through us. Because we're the representatives of Jesus Christ. So 1 John 4, let's see, I think it's 11 or 12. It says, as he is, as Jesus is, so are we. So the number one purpose of God, and this is where people get a little bit off track. Because if you don't have the first part down, you're going to really mess up the second part. And that's where you see a lot of dysfunction in churches and Christianity gets religious and damaging. Because our number one purpose in life, you'll find it in Philippians chapter 3. It says, my determined purpose is to be known by him and to be found in him. If you flip your Bible to the very first chapter and read a little bit, God created Adam and Eve for companionship, for friendship, for family. We were created to walk with him. We were created to do life with him, not for him. You know, a lot of people start doing damage. They get disconnected from that personal relationship with Jesus Christ as big brother, as best friend, as Lord, as Savior. And they start working for the kingdom. And they start working so hard that they detach from his heart. And they try to manifest his power. They try to manifest his gifts. But they lost the heart of God and there's no fruit in it. We try to do things for him without his love. What's going to happen? Nothing. What does it say in 1 Corinthians 13? I'm so off my notes, so let's have fun. 1 Corinthians 13 is right after he talks about spiritual gifts and right after he goes back into it, right? So he takes a break. He's like telling people how to flow and the gifts and the power of God and miracles. And then he goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. But if you don't have love, you are like nails on a chalkboard. That is a real good way to clear a room. Right now, if I would get some cymbals and start smashing and smashing and smashing, you know where everybody goes? Poof. When people start preaching something other than the kingdom of God, without his love, without his joy, without his peace, without the essence of who he is, you'll clear a room and you'll clear a table real fast. So number one, our determined purpose in life is to walk with him in a close, intimate relationship where he's big brother, he's best friend. And for you guys, you know, if you drive truck, you're driving truck and talking to him. You know, if you're doing yard work, I'm talking to him. I'm praying in the spirit. I'm worshiping to him. I'm just having a talk about what's going on in my family. You know, hey God, you know, this is going on with my kid. I'm really concerned. I'm talking with him while I'm washing the dishes. I'm talking with him while I'm changing the diapers. It's always good to get your focus off the diapers, you know. So we're doing life with him, and it's a constant tune and a constant fellowship. And all of a sudden, when we're going about our day, we tune into the kingdom of God. And we stop, and there's some cool stories about people that, I won't do some shout outs here, but all of a sudden their attention was arrested. I know of three people in this congregation where their attention was arrested and tuned into the kingdom of God with homeless. And it's not just given stuff, it's given hearts and given Jesus, and lives change, right? But if we're so busy working for the kingdom, preaching something other than the kingdom, demonstrating something under the kingdom, his heart will be lost and the world will stop changing. It's good to go off your notes, right? Our purpose. So once again, what is the kingdom of God? It is God's government rule on earth through us. And it all starts with walking with him, receiving him, walking in him, becoming like him. And then the number two thing, and once again, if you don't get the first part before the second, you'll get the cart before the horse and you won't go nowhere. So the number two part of God's government rule on earth through us is to administrate his kingdom on earth. Now, you business owners out there, I got Jason at Divino's Pizzas. Hey, listen, really, really fantastic pizza back there. I got Mike at Mount Zion Off-Road. They are business owners. Actually, Uncle Jim owns his own business too, right? They're business owners. There's something different between an owner and a manager. A lot less sleep, right? I was talking to Jason. You know, because when you own that business, that's your business. The weight of it, right? Luke knows that. Brenton knows this, right? You carry the weight of it when you own it. But when you administrate it, when you're just the manager, you sleep so much different at night because you don't carry the weight of it. Who's the king? Jesus. We sleep a lot better when we know he carries the weight of it. We are just to administrate it, right? We're just to carry out his way, his purposes, his opinions, not our opinions, on earth as it is in heaven. How we do life is different. And in a political climate like this, guess what? We're not angry. Right? Because if you're angry, you just took the weight. You're just to administrate. There's action. You're falling out and you're walking in his interests. You're doing what he does. You're thinking like he thinks. You're seeing people like they do. You're voting like he says vote. But you're not carrying the weight of it. You follow me? We'll get into that later. Actually, I'll read it now. Why not? Why not? Because I'm so ahead of my notes here. All right. So Isaiah chapter 9, 6 through 7. I'm sorry, sound booth. I bumped ahead another page. It says, for unto us a child is born. For unto us a son is given. Jesus Christ, right? And it says, the government shall rest upon his shoulders. And his name, Jesus Christ, shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. How are we representing the government of God right now? His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Get this. And of the increase of his government, his rule, his reign, his way of doing things, and of peace, there shall be no end over his kingdom. So no matter what's going on in the natural kingdom, we as the kingdom of God representatives are walking in peace. Walking in love, walking in joy, walking in compassion. We're going to still preach the kingdom of God and his interests and his way of doing things. Please study your Bible out. You'll find out real quick how God likes to do things in the midst of everything going on, right? and the increase of his government and his peace, there shall be no end over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from the latter time forth and forevermore. No matter who's on the, I'm not on my notes, so let's have fun. No matter who's on the natural throne and elected, God's government rules through us, right? Depending on who's on the throne, sometimes it's easier, sometimes it's harder. So do your research. But the weight of it is on him. But your job is to, despite everything going on, to walk in the fruits of the Spirit, but preach God's way of doing things. We're going back. Number one purpose, walk with him. Number two purpose of God's government rule on earth through us, the kingdom of God, is to administrate his kingdom. You're just a manager. You promote his interests. You do what he does. You know, with a business owner, they set the culture. They set the way of doing things. This is who we are. This is where we're going. Here's our team. Now we're going to go in the interest and the vision of the company, and we're going to do the business of the company, right? What happens if you have an employee that's not promoting the business interests of the owner and the company? Sorry, we're going to have to let you go. Because what happens? You're going in a different direction. You business owners are not, and you get it. You could be a really good person, right? But you're causing division, two visions. And you're going to do damage and disrupt the culture, the peace, the unity, even the prosperity of that business. So, guys, it's time to get on board. No more division in the kingdom of God. We talk about ambassadors. Ambassadors in a kingdom, so there are kingdoms, we're a democracy, but we have ambassadors that go to other countries that represent our government, right? But think of maybe England, they have a queen. So the ambassador goes to promote the interests of the queen. They don't promote their own interests. They don't promote their own opinions. They don't promote their own policies, do they? They promote the interests of the king or queen. Business owners. I was trained in business and communications and such. But in a sales call, you don't go sell them your opinions. You don't sell them a different product, right? It's the owner. There's a certain way of doing things, like quality control, right? I know when I order a pizza at Divino's, I know what it's going to taste like. I know the quality of ingredients. And when you open up another business, that's the standard. Isn't that right? And if you don't hold to the standard, we can't walk together. Let's go back to what is the kingdom of God. You guys follow where I'm going here? Kingdom of God. Okay. Genesis 1, 28. This is Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were created to walk with him. Amplified Bible says, God blessed them, granting them certain authority under his government, under his rulership of king, and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subjugate it, putting it under your power, rule over, dominate the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves upon the earth. So here's a thought. We are to multiply, cultivate creation, culture. We're not to dominate people. Follow? Sometimes there's twists in theology on that. God's given every person free will. You don't get to control people, dominate them, subjugate them. Hear that. But we are called to demonstrate the kingdom of God and create culture and people and what's going on in businesses that glorify the kingdom of God. You know, it's interesting. Where are we going to go with this? All right, so let's go back. So we're at creation right now. So God created Adam and Eve, and it was good. It was great. It was fantastic. And then human nature caught up, right? Do you know what human nature is? Do you know what original sin was? Do you know what the apple represented? Living life on your own terms. I like the blessings of God. I like all that he offers, but I want to do it my own way. Follow? I don't want to be under under his kingship. I don't want to be under his lordship. I don't want to do what he's doing. I don't want to follow where he's going. I want to do me, you do you. And Christians, we fall into it, that choice, almost every day. There's a tug in our heart to stop for someone that's homeless or stop for someone that's crying in the break room. Or just like you see a social media post and you're super busy and you know the Lord says give them a call and instead you give them a like or like a sad face. Yo, come on, we're the kingdom of God. We're to do something. But we like to do us, right? We like to live our life on our own terms. And original sin, separation from God, happened when Adam says, I like the blessing, I like the kingdom, God, you're great, you're good, but I want to do it my own way. I want the blessing without the relationship. And that's when Christians do damage, right? Because the relationship with him keeps us in his love, keeps us in his joy, keeps us in his peace, representing the true kingdom. But you step out of that, we get into religion. Working for the Savior. Hurting people around us because we lost his heart in the midst of it. So what happened? So he ate the apple and he's like, hey God, I just want to do it my own way. You know, at churches it says this, I believe in 1 Timothy, I have it later in my notes, but it says, having a form of godliness, but denying his power. I like this scripture, I like this scripture, I like this scripture. That one makes me feel uncomfortable. That scripture is going to require me to give and to help people, and people are messy, and let them into my like dinner table. Invite them over for Thanksgiving. I don't know about that one. But I like the fact that God's going to prosper me. I don't know about this. Those other scriptures, you might have to stop and go pray for someone for healing. I don't know about that one. Life on your own terms. And that was the fall of man, separation from God. And we lost our delegated authority. God gave every person on earth his delegated authority and power to represent his kingdom, right? And there was a separation. And I could preach on this for an hour, but we'll keep it short. So anyway, God gave Adam and Eve power and authority over all creation to represent his interests and do something so beautiful. And Satan tricked them, lied to them. And then we talked about the keys to your car. Stole the keys to their car. And has been wreaking havoc all across the world ever since. But guess who God originally gave authority and power to? Us. How many people are tired of Satan taking a demonic joyride with your life? Oh, come on. Let's get a little participation. How many people has been a little hard the last year or two? Okay. Thank you for your honesty. You feel like someone stole your car and is just banging up your life everywhere, you know? So it's time to get back the keys to your car. And don't let it sit in your driveway. Because we talked about it last week. God has given us keys to the kingdom, but you're going to actually have to take some action and do something with it. Because you can talk and not do. Is anybody going to pay attention to you then? And if your do does not line up with his heart, and if it's not coated in the fruits of the Spirit, you're not going anywhere either. His power with his love, it's got to always be combined. Completely inseparable, because he is his love. So what happens when you've catched the thief? How many people are realizing Satan is taking a demonic joyride with our nation? A demonic joyride with our lives, with our family, even emotional or mental health. To catch a thief, according to Isaiah chapter 61, it says, you can make the thief restore double. Follow? How many of you, I've been stolen from in more ways that I don't feel like crying for 15 minutes up here, but you know my life. I've lost loved ones, I've lost opportunities, I've lost some significant things in my life. They're dead and buried, but I'm seeing God resurrect them in different ways. But I make a demand. And I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And I will make the thief restore double everything he stole in my life, in reputation, in heart, in relationship, whatever it may be. Amen. I'm getting the keys to my car back. And he's going to fix up every dent on that one, right? We have been given authority. So get this. So Adam kind of messed it up. But guess what? The moment we give our lives to Jesus, because remember I read it says when Jesus came, the kingdom came back to earth. And when he died, and I could quote a lot of scriptures, but it says that he got back the keys to sin, hell, and the grave. You got me? And what did he do? He gave it back to us as representatives of his kingdom on earth. So he has given you authority to live the victorious life that was already bought back at the cross 2,000 years ago. But it's time to put the keys in the ignition, pray, and take action, and get our car back on track. It's time to step up and claim the fact you've already been given, you've been made a joint heir with Jesus Christ. A joint heir. Remember we talked about in the past being joint seated with him in heavenly places above all the drama. You know what? You know, just all this junk is going on and the mid-slinging and the stones being thrown and this just the family's going the nation's going and God says, remember where you're seated. You're a joint seated, a joint heir with Jesus Christ in heavenly places. You got to get up out of the drama, get the God's eye view, and find out what he has called you to do. Because I want you to think about this. What it means to be a joint heir. When someone very powerful, influential, well-off passes away and they die, they write a will. If you've been named an heir in someone's will, there's an inheritance. But unless you go for the reading of the will, you'll never know what your inheritance is. God's will is his word. There's a lot of Christians that all they're doing is reading a scripture a day in their little Bible app, and that's great, but they're not reading the whole thing in context, and they're missing very, very key parts to how God has empowered you to live your life. We focus on our favorite parts, but we're to read the entirety, Old Testament and New Testament, and see Jesus linking it all together. And don't just take one scripture out of context and quote it and preach it at people if you don't read the rest of it in there. Because you might do some damage. But I'm not, hey, listen, keep preaching Jesus. Just read it every day. Right? His grace will cover. So think about this. So if you've been named an heir in a powerful person's inheritance, and you never go for the reading of the will, you could go 10, 15, 20, 30 years without knowing what you've been given. Without using the resources that he's given you. You know, I know so many Christians that their normal is depression and anxiety. That's their normal. Don't take any guilt, condemnation, and shame. That was my normal for a little bit too. I wrestled with depression, anxiety attacks, and insomnia for a season of my life, a couple years. You have to read that whole Bible in context and say, wow, 2,000 years ago, Jesus set me free at the cross. That doesn't have to be my normal. And receive that healing, right? So you hear all these stories about, you know, someone was named as a will and an inheritance. And a long time ago, before social media, it was really hard to find people. Before video recognition cameras and such. But like, someone can be named an heir and a will, and they can't find them anywhere. And it takes out years later that they're named in a will with all of these resources that they could have used to help their family, to help their business, to set up orphanages. I don't even know, just to minister to people, set people free. But they didn't go for the reading of the will. They didn't receive what they've been given. So anybody know who Charles Spurgeon is? Charles Spurgeon, he's a famous minister in England. And there's a really cool story where he was ministering to an elderly couple. And they were living in extreme poverty. And, you know, sometimes in poverty, you don't have the resources to get the care you need to live a healthy life, right? Medical resources and such. So they were fighting some sickness. They didn't have the resources to live a healthy life. And he goes to visit them and pray with them. And he notices on the wall, there's this framed, beautiful piece of paper. And it was written in just gorgeous script. I believe it was in French based on what I read. And he asked about it. He said, oh, what is this? What does that mean? And they go, well, we had a soldier that during the war, this is back a long time ago, that we had nursed back to health. He was near death. And then he came back and he gave us this piece of paper. And it was just so beautiful. And we framed it and put it in the wall. Whenever we looked at it, we just remembered him. Thank God for him. They never found out, because they were illiterate, what it said. It was an inheritance to a huge sum of money. Living for, like, I don't even know, 10 years, 20 years in abject poverty was affecting their health. No one to take care of them. And the inheritance was right there, but they never read it. They never redeemed it. So we went to the Corn Maze. They got a coupon for a free apple. What does redemption mean? You ever get a coupon? You don't read the fine print? Or, you know, lottery ticket, whatever. But a coupon, you know, I'd like a whole freezer full of meat. You know those, like, meat companies? Like, hey, what if I got a coupon in the mail? It was like, I get a freezer full of, like, I love beef. It's great. It's fantastic. Eat a lot of chicken. Love beef. I could have steak for a year. And if I get that coupon and I stick it on my fridge and I'm so busy that I never read the details of it and I never go redeem that coupon, am I going to have steak in my fridge? I'm going to be eating my chicken over and over again. So redemption is the fact that Jesus paid the price 2,000 years ago. He redeemed your life. He bought you back. It's not about how good you are, how good we like to make ourselves seem. We all need Jesus, right? And our lives were bought back at the cross 2,000 years ago. But if you don't see yourself the way he sees you, if you don't walk as an ambassador of Jesus Christ because you think you got to be good enough, he redeemed your life, but you got to go, what? Cash in the coupon, you got to go read what you have access to. Redemption, the fact that he bought back our lives and gave us a spiritual inheritance full of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit to demonstrate his power and bring healing and freedom towards people. We have an incredible spiritual inheritance sitting in this spiritual bank account. But unless you access it and not just talk about it, it's going to sit there and rot. And we're going to live a powerless, boring, depressing life full of fear and anxiety, stockpiling toilet paper till 2030 because we don't know who we are. Yes. It's a tragic waste when something like that goes unclaimed or unaccessed. By the way, you have rights and privileges as an American citizen. My grandmother has our family line traced back all the way back to the Revolutionary War. How many people have military in your family? My grandfather served as a Marine. My dear family friend, Johnny, was passed away as a Marine. There were lives that were lost. Suffering. Incredible suffering for some soldiers before they pass on. They fought for our freedom. Do not bury your head in the sand like an ostrich and wait and just see where things take us. Be educated. Please vote. You follow me on that one? Something blood-bought was fought for you. Use everything that you've been given. And it's the same way with Jesus Christ. A lot of people, they just want the fruit of the Spirit, but they don't want the power that he's equipped you to live a victorious life, to set other people free, to bring healing, to bring, my father had an addiction background, and he had a relapse at one point in his life. That didn't disqualify him for receiving love and forgiveness, complete freedom from that. And guess what he did? He didn't just stop there and let that sit in a spiritual bank account because I'm not good enough to go set people free in an area that I had the incredible weakness into. He took the inheritance, the equipping to bring freedom and deliverance and healing and set other people free in that same area. And says, you don't have to be perfect to be an usher, a greeter, a minister, or a teacher. Guess what? All you need is Jesus Christ and his righteousness. There is an incredible spiritual inheritance. A lot of people that you are qualified in Christ Jesus. But if you don't read that every day, we will hide, licking our wounds, saying, I am not good enough for God to use me. I'm not good enough to pray for someone to receive healing or receive freedom from addiction or whatever it may be. We are called to manifest his kingdom on earth by grace. Not because we deserve it. Not because we're good enough. Not because we look a certain way, talk a certain way. Grace is God's divine empowerment. It is receiving his character and nature freely received in your life and reflected through your heart, through your life. So the definition of charis, charis is the Greek word for grace. It says it is God's divine nature. Freely received in your heart and reflected in your life to be Jesus Christ on the earth. He changes us. I don't got to be good enough for him to use me. You never will. He really likes using flawed people. Look at the people he picked all throughout the Bible. He picked people that were not good enough and not qualified and really dysfunctional and a total mess. He said, oh good, you won't fall into pride and I can use that. You come from nothing? I'll build your business up to this and you can go support orphanages all over. Why? Because you value it. You value what he's done because you're like, wow, God, you did this through my life. That was not me. That's all you. And he said, I can work with that. Where are we at on time? Wow. We'll do part 7 eventually. Lord God, I just want to take a moment, Lord. How would you like me to go? I want to create space for you to flow in this service, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, all right. I feel the Lord is going to be restoring identity right now to a lot of people. There's like so many places I could go, but he's not in where that is going right now. He's in this moment in the now, and we're going to take a moment to just connect with his heart, right? There are people in this room that as I'm preaching, you're going, I'm not good enough. My life is not in the place it needs to be for him to use me or even for me to surrender my life to him right now. And he says, oh, you're just, that's just how I like it, right? I like the mess. It says, you are his masterpiece, created in his image. It says in the Psalms, he says that before, Jeremiah Psalms, throughout scripture, it talks about before you were even born, he had a plan for you. There is destiny on your life to represent him. The Lord is restoring right now how you see yourself in the light of his eyes. Let's all stand up. We're going to be really sensitive to the Holy Spirit right now, and I believe the Lord wants to do some ministry. We got plenty of time because we don't even end till noon, and we're going to give him the time and space to heal hearts, to restore how he sees us, to re-stir up callings, to commission you. If I can have some elders and grow group leaders, men's group leaders, come forward. Just if you could put your mask on, we're just going to stand up front here, but we're going to have a time of ministry and we're giving the Lord space for what he wants to do. Uncle Jim, could you come forward as a minister in the men's group? Lane's in the back. I don't know if someone could take over camera. Yeah. Grow group leaders. If you head up a grow group, I'm just going to get quiet right now and see what the Lord wants to do. Holy Spirit, we just say, lead us and guide us what you want to do right now. I feel like the Lord is just speaking through his word. You're my son. You're my daughter. You don't have to be anything else. Rest. Rest in who I have created you to be. You are forgiven. You're set free. The temptations, the struggles, the weight, the sin, according to Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, you are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses in heaven cheering for you, ones that have gone on before you, people that have died in battle, are cheering for you now. And they too are cheering. Remember who you really are. You're a son and a daughter of Jesus Christ. You are brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. You are sons and daughters of Father God. And you are good enough because his goodness makes us good. Not our own works, not our own righteousness. Philippians chapter 3 says, all the good things I ever did in my life, working hard for the Savior, doesn't mean anything. It's a load of dung is what scripture says in Philippians 3. And for you on the other side, all the hurt, all the pain, all the trauma, all the abuse, all the bad things you did, the people you've hurt, even you hurting yourself doesn't mean anything anymore either, because he paid the price. You have been set free. You are not your past. You are not what people spoke over you. You're not even what your parents said over you. There's a lot of people that parents spoke negative things over you just in their own hurt. You've been set free. Now it's time to receive that freedom, receive that absolute unconditional love. And God says, I am worthy, therefore you are worthy. Worthy to represent the kingdom of God. Worthy to be my ambassador. I am sending you back to the people that you have struggled in the same things, and you're walking in freedom right now. And you are going, just like in the book of Jude, it says, some are snatched from the fire. Matthew 16, 18 through 20, Jesus said, on this rock, Jesus Christ, he's your rock, he's your strength, he's your shelter, he's your fortress, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not stand against you. The original context is not hell coming at you. It's you running after hell and banging down the door, and you will rescue and save your family, your friends, your neighbors, the kids that go to school with your kids. And it says, I have given you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you release on earth will be released in heaven. And again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask, it will be done for you according to his will. So you better know what you have access to in this book. Freedom, healing, peace, freedom from anxiety, freedom from depression. If you are struggling with depression and anxiety right now, you can come forward. You can put your mask on. Come forward. They're going to pray with you, and they're going to break off depression, break off anxiety, break off fear. If you are wrestling in your faith for the protection of your family through this pandemic, they're going to stand with you and release healing over you and your family and protection. If you're concerned for your business or your job and you need someone to stand with you and release faith, come on up. And don't let pride keep you in your seat. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am in the midst of you. The kingdom of God is a community. It is a kingdom of believers that come together to build each other up, to encourage one another, to comfort, to strengthen in his name. So I'd just like everybody just to close your eyes. I challenge you to lift your hands as a sign of just receiving. You know, when a father or a mother wants to give something to their kid, they lift their hands up to receive it. All things that pertain to life and godliness are yours in Christ Jesus. If you need strength, if you need grace, there is an endless supply. It's time to receive the inheritance that he's already paid the price for. If you're feeling weak right now, guess what? In your greatest of weaknesses, he will be the strongest in your life. Come forward. Come forward. We're going to worship. Come forward for someone to pray with you. Come forward even just to worship and celebrate everything that you're receiving by faith right now. But I think it's time to fill the altars and get out of your seat a little bit. Amen. Go ahead, Nevin.
Jesus, we just love you so much, and we thank you for healing us, bodies and our minds, Lord, and our emotions, for restoring families, for restoring marriages, Lord. We thank you for delivering us from depression and anxiety and fear. We thank you for protecting us and providing for us in our jobs and our businesses and protecting our families and loved ones. And Lord God, as our kids are being sent into the schools, Lord God, as we are being sent to the communities and business, or even just to represent the kingdom and minister to people around us, we thank you. You surround us, and as I read this morning, you go before us, and you're our rear guard. You surround us. And I thank you that we represent the kingdom of God, full of the fruits of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit, that we are soaking up all your love, all of your joy, all of your peace, all of your goodness, your kindness, your self-control, your patience, to release it to those around us. And we are receiving every spiritual gift you've ever given us, Lord. And we want more. More of you. If you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, please come up and they would love to pray for you. If you'd like to give your life to Jesus, maybe you never have, I'm going to pray with you right now, and you can come up and they're going to pray with you and encourage you. Or maybe you, like Adam, you were walking with him for a while, but you wanted to do your own thing. You kind of just wanted to promote your own policies, your own way of doing life, but it's time to get back under his kingship. You can just repeat this prayer. Father God, in Jesus' name, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. I give you my life. Jesus, when you rose from the dead, I was raised with you to a new life. And today, the now, old things are passed away. All things have become new. My past is dead and gone. Thank you, Jesus. I am alive in you. I'm new in you. Lead me and guide me to represent you on this earth. Amen. Well, I love you guys. You are dismissed. If you want to stand worship, you're welcome to. And if you'd like to pray with anyone, we're here for you. We love you so much.